Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Jeff Blair has a big brain of sports knowledge, and he's about to headbutt you with it. This is Jeff Blair and The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Right, this is a rarity. The Winter Meetings Roundtable is assembling. Wilner's here in time. Ben Nicholson-Smith is here. Wilner and Travis are having a big discussion. Wilner's trying to get Travis to park his car. Unbelievable. You want him to wash it, too?
He usually does.
And we don't know where Shai Davidi is.
I want to trade seats with Benny Frush so I can cheat on the computer.
Benny Frush?
Benny Frush is here.
Benny Fresh.
Shai Diggity is not yet.
Shai Davidi is waiting for 10 o'clock so he can park his car.
Apparently, Shai Diggity is working on Wilner Standard Time. We'll have to let him know about that.
Absolutely. It is the three-quarters of the Winter Meetings Roundtable has assembled. Mike Wilner. You can follow him on Twitter at Wilderness590. Ben Nicholson-Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at BNicholson-Smith. And Shai Davidi will join us momentarily. You can follow him at Shai Davidi. All three of these fine gentlemen have somehow managed to suck management into this place, into sending them down to San Diego, along with Barry Davis. Oh, Shai Davidi showed up. Nice of you to do this. Any bagels for me?
Not today.
Apparently not. Anyhow, these guys have sucked management into sending all three of them down to San Diego, along with Barry Davis, when we all know that Alex isn't going to do jack down there. So you're basically going to have four guys filing the same non-story.
Well, the three of us and Barry.
Sounds like last year.
Well done, gentlemen.
Yeah, that was our whole off-season last year.
Yeah, that's true. We were used to that.
We wrote enough about nothing to fill a full Seinfeld season.
In fairness, Ben and I were talking about this off the air. I guess it's, people kind of realize now that Alex isn't a big fan of the winter meetings. And the winter meetings really have changed. I mean, Shai, even from the ones, I mean, how many winter meetings have you been going? I've been going to more than you, but it's changed since you started. There's a lot of stuff that just, a lot of background stuff that gets done compared to actual hardcore stuff.
Sure. I think the first winter meeting I covered was 2006, maybe. The one in Orlando where the Jays missed out on Lilly and Gil Mesh. And
I remember chasing
Ted Lilly's agent.
Ted Lilly's agent. It was through the Dawn or the Swolfin. I can't remember which, but we cornered him outside.
Dolphin and Swan. That's 6 days of my life I'll never get back. That's like really Disney's run by the devil.
It's
not the Disney company, because I don't know. They may own part of us or something like that. We may own part of them. It's a creepy place. It is. There are dead people there.
Well, it's got to be. Yes. Even then, I think, smartphones were just really starting to become ubiquitous at that point. And teams would still have guys manning the phone at that point in the suite. And now everything's done via text. I mean, you want to talk to someone, you just text them. You don't need to call the suite and have somebody answer or deliver the message to the GM. Hey, so-and-so from here is on the phone. They'd like to meet at this time. It's just now guys are just sitting around watching TV, trading texts, and getting stuff done.
It's Shai Davidi, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Mike Wilner, and Jeff Blair in the Winter Meetings Roundtable. Gentlemen, let's talk about, first of all, and I should mention that Joel Sherman has reported that Andrew Miller's expected to make a decision today. He is, of course, I guess he and David Robertson would be the two. Well, one guy's a closer. One guy, in the case of Andrew Miller, is a pitcher that I think most teams are now looking at as a closer. They're kind of the two relievers on the market. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I'll start with you, Ben. What are the Blue Jays' needs right now? We know they've got Donaldson. We know that they've got Russell Martin, and they've added Michael Saunders. What do you see as the most pressing need for the Blue Jays? And do you think Alex has a shot to address any of those issues this week?
Yeah, I think the bullpen is probably the starting point. And you look at adding at least a couple relievers to that mix. If you do that, then all of a sudden this team is really taking shape. At the same time, I wouldn't want to forget about second base. I mean, I know that you have the three guys and each one of them has their strengths, but at the same time, if you can go out there and somehow make one last trade effort for, you know, whether it's a Howie Kendrick and Alexei Ramirez, someone along those lines, you have the payroll to do it. I mean, they freed up some room this week. So I think that's something that you'd want to keep at least on the back burner.
Michael.
I see both those guys not coming. We all know Kendrick's got the no trade, right? So that makes it tough. I think Alexei, if I had to guess, Oakland in a Samardzija deal, I think they've got the room to add Jed Lowry if they want on a cheapish 2-year deal to play second base. I think Alex isn't that worried about it, and I agree with Ben, with Travis and Goins and Asturias, there's something there, but there could be a lot more there. But it would be nice to get that address, and you do have enough money to address that and pick up 2 or 3 really nice bullpen pieces.
Go ahead.
I'm just afraid to say, you know, what they might do next, because next hasn't been anything we've expected at any point. But they Alex knows he needs to work on that bullpen.
Shai, how much money does Alex have to play with? I mean, you broke it down the other day. It's around $21
million? Well, it's roughly 21. They have $119 million in commitments, guaranteed salary, and salary arbitration projections.
16 players, right?
16 or 17.
Okay.
And I think it's 17. 16 if you don't count Ricky Romero as a roster player. So
unfortunately,
and then you factor in, they're going to probably have about $3 million for 0-3 service time guys. Mm-hmm. So rough estimate, say 18 on the assumption of $140 million payroll. And you know, that's the number Ben and I have kind of been working with this off season, just guesstimating off where they were last year and expecting a slight payroll bump. So you can get a lot of stuff done, and Jed Lowry is interesting. You know,
you can make it 23 too, because you know Navarro's not going to be around.
Well, it depends. I think if they trade Navarro, they're going to get a player, and they're probably going to take some money back.
Right, but it'll be something that adds to the needs that we're trying to fill now.
Right, but again, you know, that unless they're going to do a straight dump of Navarro, that money will probably be used in whatever they acquire. So,
am I the only one here, by the way, that I'm not in a rush to move Navarro right now? I kind of like him in this lineup as a DH and a guy can catch.
I don't like him in the lineup as a DH at all. I don't think the bat plays a DH. And you know, he's a nice guy who can catch for sure, but he's got way more value in a trade, I think, than he has on the roster.
Again, that depends on what he gets back. And I think if the Blue Jays wanted to, they could move him right now. Mm-hmm. But they have to get something worthwhile back to motivate them to move him, because he does make this team better. You have a guy who could be your backup catcher. I mean, it sounds like they might give Russ Martin a chance to catch R.A. Dickey. And if that takes, and you no longer need to carry Josh Toley, he's got an option, you can go to AAA Buffalo, then Navarro all of a sudden becomes a lot more useful to you, because he's got a real chance to play, say, 40, 45 games behind the plate, and you DH him a bunch and use him off the bench as needed. I mean, that's pretty good value. Now, will Navarro be happy doing that? Probably not, but that makes your team better. So if you're going to move him, you're not just going to dump him. You need to get a useful piece back.
I don't think that's good value for $5 million, though. To have a backup catcher, a part-time DH that the bat really doesn't carry at DH, and, you know, maybe he'll DH against some lefties, although I see Danny Valencia doing that or playing first against lefties for a lot less money. I just think that $5 million is a lot to pay for that guy.
Sure.
So that's why I think he's worth more to them off the roster than he is, or worth more to them in whatever he can bring back in trade than he is to carrying.
The other thing, too, to your point about DH, he is the type of guy where if he's DHing late in the game and gets on base and it's a close game, you're going to have to pinch run for him,
right?
which is another issue with him. It's a winter meetings roundtable. Ben Nicholson Smith, Shai Davidi, Mike Wilner, and Jeff Blair.
Are all these smart guys here, plugged in guys, hearing about this Yankee three-way something? It's starting to come out on Twitter now.
I'm looking at what
Didi Gregorius is going to take over for Derek Jeter as the next Yankee shortstop, apparently.
Didi Gregorius.
The Yankees are marching to Gregorius.
Well, they need.
It's a Tigers, Yankees, and Diamondbacks deal, according to Sweeney Murdy. Robbie Ray is involved, going to Arizona. And apparently Didi Gregorius to the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees, I mean, we've got a I should mention, by the way, that on sportsnet.ca, the four of us have combined on kind of a winter meetings preview where we look at our, you know, sleeper teams, power brokers, things of that nature. One of you, I don't have the story in front of me, right? Was it you, Shai, said that you, the Yankees, it was either Shai or Ben, I think, said the Yankees have to do something. I mean, if you're looking at a team that really hasn't done anything at the winter meetings, they've got one healthy pitcher coming. They have one guy coming back they know is going to be healthy. He's throwing 130 innings. They've got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this team right now, they need to add, I'd say, at least two starting pitchers. You have to add someone at the back end of the bullpen. Maybe that's Andrew Miller or David Robertson. Mm-hmm. Then shortstop. And then you have all these other questions swirling. Alex Rodriguez, I mean, what's he going to be able to offer? I think that the Yankees are probably one of those teams. And I know, Mike, you mentioned the Orioles. But around the AL East, there are a lot of empty positions.
Yeah. And it's funny how everyone just seems to be so confident that the Yankees will get it done because of Brian Cashman. But they,
I don't get that sense, Mike. I think people are really skeptical about, maybe I'm guilty of reading a lot of the Yankees writers. I think they're really skeptical about.
Maybe the guys who are close know.
Right.
But the national guys seem to think they'll be all right. You know, well, whatever happens, they're going to be all right. There are people who said that the Yankees are the team to beat in the American League East because Brian Cashman's going to do something.
Yeah. Well, I think most people expect them to be in on Scherzer at some point. But.
Right. And the Yankees were supposed to be all quiet last year, right? And mm-hmm. then they went nuts, right?
Yeah.
So are they just playing possum again and, you know, they don't want to get sucked into driving up the prices for Lester and Shields or whoever, and Miller, Robertson, and, you know, just they're just going to swoop in at the end and, you know, throw down the big check and off they go. I don't know. I really have trouble believing that they're going to sit this one out when, you know, CC Sabathia and Masahiro Tanaka, their arms are being held together with chewing gum and masking tape right now. And if you don't have those two guys, God help that rotation.
What do you think? I think we all agree, and it's no surprise, but it's pretty obvious that the Blue Jays, that the bullpen is going to be a major focus for Alex in the immediate future and the long-term future as well. Who do you see as potentially helping the bullpen? I mean, are there guys out there? I mean, clearly they're not going to make an offer for Andrew Miller. We know that. They're not going to make an offer for Andrew Miller. Not at 4 years, at least. I don't know. Does anybody expect them to be in the David Robertson?
Not me.
Hard to imagine.
So where do they? Give me an idea. Give me some names that maybe we should be looking at. Jays fans should be looking at as potential bullpen candidates next year.
I'd love to see them take a run at Luke Gregerson.
I was just going to say, do they have enough money? And they probably do to go get Luke Gregerson.
And you spoke to Luke, to his agent at
a few times, and right. It's. You look at the numbers, it's actually in the story. I can't remember the exact ERA, but it's like a 2.7 ERA and over close to 300 appearances over the past four seasons. I mean, there's been a remarkable level.
A lot
level
of that's San Diego, though.
But, you know, he did it in Oakland, too. And I know it's a pitcher's park, but it's a better hitting league. And the guy's stuff has a chance to play. And he's a guy who's been in late inning situations. And he might be the best reliever not named Robertson or Miller out there, and he's going to be a little bit, you figure he slots in under those two guys or behind those two guys, so you could fit him in, still get another arm or two or maybe a second baseman. There's still payroll flexibility with that guy, and maybe you only have to go to 3 years for him instead of, you know, Miller's going to get four, Robertson you think is going to get four. I don't know. I think that's an interesting name out there. And it's a little bit, I think you'd feel a little bit more comfortable with him than, say, betting on Sergio Romo, right?
I like the hurt guys. I mean, I know you got to get one healthy guy, but I like the hurt guys. Mike Adams, Jason Mott, and Hochever. Yeah, and I thought that.
I think Kansas City's re-signing Hochever.
They did. Two years and $10 million. Which takes away the, I thought, you can get a hurt guy cheap because $5 million a year is nuts. But Mike Adams, Jason Mott, Nick Massett, and there's one other guy whose name escapes me at the moment, have all been really, really, really good relievers. They're all coming off crappy years, and they're all really high reward, low risk type of guys.
Yeah, I think that you can make a case for those guys. And I wonder, too, if there's a case to be made for waiting it out a little bit, because I think if you go in there now and you try to take San Diego by storm and sign a couple relievers, I don't think you're going to get Rafael Soriano or Sergio Romo for a bargain. But I think if you wait until January, February, They need somewhere to report. They don't want to be the next Stephen Drew. I wonder if at that point you can even get them for a better deal.
It's the Winter Meetings Roundtable. Jeff Blair, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Shai Davidi, and Mike Wilner. No way Casey Jansen's back as a closer.
I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned. I mean, they were just so far apart at the All-Star break. I mean,
I got the sense, Casey, I just got the sense it's almost like they fell out of love, too. They were tired of each other.
You know, sometimes when you have those talks in the middle of the season and the gap is so wide, you know, each side gets a sense of how the other values them. Mm-hmm. And when there's a wide gap, you know, a player might say, wow, you only think that much of me. This is how you're going to try to buy me out of free agency. You know, so that could be a factor. And the other thing that, I mean, the Blue Jays in some ways are going to be able to really get the guy they want because, you know, with the position player, look at, oh, turf, yada, yada, don't want to come here. But the Blue Jays have an open closer spot. And if you're trying to sign a reliever, that's, aside from money, that's the biggest carrot that you can have. So the Blue Jays shouldn't have that much trouble filling this. It's just basically picking the guy that they want and fitting him within their payroll structure.
Let me throw a name out there right now. And one of the things Alex said at the end of the year was, if you can't get a closer, you know, if you can't get a guy who is just considered nothing but a closer, then maybe you get somebody you think can close. A guy who is starting to hear, you're starting to hear a little more talk around, not, he hasn't been connected with the Blue Jays yet, but a guy that the Jays were interested in a couple of years ago is Justin Masterson. And there are people who think Justin Masterson can close. Do you see them maybe going after a guy like that?
That would be Mike? Really, really, really interesting. You get this big-time ground ball guy to be your closer. Hurts a little because Jose Reyes is your shortstop.
Right.
And so I wonder about that. But, I would think that if Justin Masterson is going to get a starting offer, he'd probably rather take that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get more money and probably a longer guarantee. I'd be really surprised if that happened.
Even as a setup role, I mean, you can imagine him being a guy who could obviously pitch multiple innings for you. And like you said, Mike, with those ground ball numbers, it would work in the park, but it would probably come down to what he wants to do as far as starting or relieving.
Which team, beyond the Blue Jays, which team will you be keeping an eye on the most during this week? Shai, is there one team in particular that really, really intrigues you?
You know, there's a few.
I mean, I know we talked about the Yankees.
Yeah, we talked about the Yankees, so I'll go in a different direction. But you'd think the Cincinnati Reds, with all those starters headed for free agency and clearly not enough on that roster to take a real run at the NL Central right now, they're going to have to pick a direction. And it's complicated for their ownership because they have the All-Star game this year and they don't want to have a terrible season and rebuild with when they're hosting the All-Star game. And they really, you know, ownership really loves Cueto and they love Chapman. But at some point you have to make a decision and look at the forest and not the trees and realize, okay, well, we got to go one of two directions here. We either got to build up and take a shot at this and where it is that they don't have a ton of money to spend, mm-hmm. or they're going to have to strip down. So if they decide that they're going to strip down, I mean, is Latos in play, Leak in play, maybe Cueto in play?
You can't have Cueto in play, can you? I mean,
he's the guy you try to keep.
Yeah.
If you're the Reds, but again, where are you? What are you doing with your competitive window? Are you opening a new window, and who are you placing in it? Who are you building that around? I mean, Votto's there. Votto's not going anywhere. You know, Jay Bruce at that money. I don't know. I don't know that he's going anywhere unless the Reds eat a bunch of it, and that doesn't make sense for them. So, you know, they're gonna have to make a call and say, well, if we sign Cueto. And, you know, we've already got a 100-something into Bailey, and Cueto's definitely getting more than Bailey. Can they afford that, and can they put a sufficient roster around them to overtake the Cardinals and fight off the Pirates?
By the way, it is done, according to Ken Rosenthal, a three-way deal between the Yankees, Diamondbacks, and Tigers. Shane Green is the guy, the lead dog from going from the Yankees to Detroit, Robbie Ray to Arizona, and Didi Gregorius to the Yankees to take over. There's probably more coming there, but the deal is, according to Rosenthal, it's done, and the Yankees have a Derek Jeter successor.
It is a nice deal for the Yankees, though.
It is.
Gregoria is a nice little hitter.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing, you heard this a lot, that you just can't replace Jeter with anyone, right? And that's why a lot of people...
I don't know. Mike thinks you can.
Right. Yeah, well...
Defensively, you can.
But that's another conversation, I think. But, there were some people who thought that if Hardy hit the open market, that he would have been perfect for that team just because he wouldn't be phased by all the your Derek Jeter's replacement. And by going young in that replacement now, that's going to be really interesting. Cause,
yeah, this guy's 24, I think.
Right. And, you know, not a ton of big league time. And you know, Arizona, which is a quiet, sleepy place. And, you know, New York center mm-hmm. of the action. And... you know, Derek Jeter's legacy is going to be the elephant in the infield, for lack of a better way to put it. That's going to be really intriguing to watch.
Does this change the way we think about what the Colorado Rockies are going to do this offseason? Because all I'd been hearing for months was Tulo, going to the Yankees, and they're going to trade Carlos Gonzalez, and they're going to do this
too. Makes me
wonder. Does this mean they don't want to do it?
Maybe Colorado adds somebody instead of subtracting somebody. But because you heard, you're right, for... God, the first week it seemed like all you read was that Troy Tulowitzki was going to go someplace.
And he's a guy who, on the disabled list, went and visited Yankee Stadium, obviously grew up wearing Derek Jeter's number. So there's some sort of a fit there, but it's tough with the Rockies because that division, I mean, going up against the Dodgers, World Series champions there, I mean, that's not a division that you would want to try to compete in.
What do you make of the, winner, should mention this, by the way, so people know, it's the Winter Meetings Roundtable, Jeff Blair, Shai Davidi, Mike Wilner, and Ben Nicholson-Smith on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What do you make of the reports last night, and they've been out there before, that the Dodgers may in fact be looking at doing something with Zach Greinke, because there's an indication that Greinke's going to opt out next year, which he has the right to opt out. If Zach Greinke's on the market, I mean, that just complicates the pitching situation even more.
Yeah,
it does. And, you know, I think that when it comes to Greinke, he's in a really interesting position, because if he goes out and has a good year, you get him for 1 year and $22 million or whatever it is. Now, if he has a bad year, he has a three-year player option that he'll exercise, and then you have him locked in for $100 million over 4 years. So I think that kind of alongside Greinke being the Dodgers' second-best pitcher, there's also this big player option kind of looming for them.
Twitter, a couple of people of Rudy Gower and Gary Cook asking the same question of us. Why not Brandon Morrow as a closer?
Isn't that up to Brandon Morrow? I mean, you got to talk him out of trying to be a starter. And we're talking about Greinke. Mm-hmm. There were rumors that the Dodgers were interested in Brandon Morrow, making him a starter. I think if someone offers him a chance to start, he will leap at that. If mm-hmm. nobody does, why not?
He's also going to be looking for the best situation for him, that he'd consider relief, but he wants to be in a place that will... you know, where he likes the training staff, he likes the regimen, he feels that might, the total fit will just maybe give him a better chance at staying healthy and being successful. I don't know that he's not 100% starter or bust, but that's definitely his lean, because that's where he sees there being more value to a team, obviously, and where he'd really ideally like to make it happen. But I think the possibility exists for him to close if the opportunity was that much better. But I just don't see the Blue Jays going back down that road. I mean, we've seen them put so much emphasis on durability this winter, the move for Saunders notwithstanding. I just can't see them going for a closer who, you know, has had trouble staying on the field.
What do you think ends up winning the John Lester sweepstakes? Which I think a lot of people think that maybe one of the first news conferences at the Winter Meetings is going to be a John Lester news conference. Who do you think ends up winning the Lester sweepstakes?
I can see it being the Cubs. I mean, we all expected them to be so busy, and aside from adding Madden, they really haven't done a ton. So I could definitely see it being Chicago.
I felt the Cubs have been the front runners all along. And boy, if they get Lester, they are so loaded with prospects.
Yeah, if they get Lester, they only need four more starting pitchers to have a rotation.
Yeah,
Arrieta.
All right.
But they're poised that they could make some moves to get some pitching.
Oh, sure. They got a lot to deal. Who was it that said the Cubs in our little thing?
I did, actually.
Oh, okay, so that's why you brought
it up. It's actually not. But I mean, I've felt all along the Cubs get Lester.
And no, but that they have and they have what to deal now. To,
sure.
Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine they're pulling over Greinke too if they get Lester? And
yeah, it would be.
Or one of those. Well, I don't think the Reds would make
no,
a deal
not
with them.
The division. But,
no. Where do you see Lester going, Shai?
You know what? My gut initially was Cubs. But the more that I think about it, if you're the Red Sox, how do you lose out on Lester after spending $183 million on Sandoval and Ramirez?
Good point.
I mean, like, you're just basically torpedoing the whole endeavor if you don't get Lester.
But what about the whole idea of, you know, well, you talked about Casey Jansen, and when you said he was here and the Blue Jays were in another time zone with the offer, the Red Sox came to Lester with a $70 million contract offer at the All-Star break.
Yeah, but if they're going to come back and double it, which is probably the area that it's going to end up
at. It's going to have to be.
I think that, you know, that'll probably heal a few wounds,
massage,
right?
Heart feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, we tried to lowball you then, but here, we're anteing up now. Please accept our $140 million. But I mean,
it wasn't a serious offer. It's just between us. Just guys being guys.
But, you know, the Red Sox essentially had a come to Jesus season where they're like, you know what? We're not giving out long-term contracts anymore. And then they saw that their kids just sucked when they played over 162
exactly.
games. They're like, you know what? Maybe we should spend on free agents a little bit and let's start using our money again.
It is remarkable. I mean, they changed their approach over the span of like even 4 or 5 months was just, I mean, if you go back and read the stuff in June and July and August, even there was, well, we don't know if we're really going to go, you know, we'll stay the course, maybe add some tweaks here and there. And then of course they go out and add a very large tweak in Pablo Sandoval and then bring in Hanley Ramirez as well. It's a winter meetings roundtable on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Jeff Blair, Shai Davidi, Mike Wilner, and Ben Nicholson Smith. We are going to shift our focus back to the Blue Jays, and in particular, Melky Cabrera will get the roundtable's thoughts as to where Melky Cabrera ends up going. This is a Jeff Blair Show. It's the Winter Meetings Roundtable on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, it is the Winter Meetings Roundtable on the Jeff Blair Show. Mike Wilner, Shai Davidi, Ben Nicholson Smith, and yours truly, Wilner, Ben Davidi, and Barry Davis will be in San Diego for the Winter Meetings starting Sunday. We have on Sportsnet.ca, I've tweeted a link to it, I'm sure these gentlemen have as well. We have a Winter Meetings preview that will get you set for the winter meetings, our picks for power brokers and teams to watch and surprise teams and all that good stuff, a little bit of what we were talking about this morning. I want to return focus to the Blue Jays. I want to start with Melky Cabrera. I think we're all in agreement that Melky Cabrera doesn't come back now as a result of the Michael Saunders signing. I guess if he were to call up and say, give me 1 year, Alex would think about it. And it's obviously not going to happen. Where do you see Melky ending up? I felt for a while that it may end up being at Kansas City for Melky, that he may end up returning there. Interesting report today. I think it was John Heyman talking about the San Francisco Giants maybe talking to him, and I don't see that given the way it ended. We'll start with you, Mike.
I find it very interesting that the last two teams he was on are the teams that we're hearing the most about. If it's me, I think Baltimore has to do whatever it can to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've lost Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis already, and those are two huge, huge pieces for them. Markakis, Cruz, and Adam Jones all played like 145 of the first 148
right.
games, and they were all very, very good. They're hemorrhaging right now over in Baltimore.
Well, if I'm Baltimore, I'd rather sign Melky than the deals that they've been talking about with Atlanta. I'd rather have Melky than, wouldn't you, than Atlanta, than Upton? If you had the choice, if you were...
No, I'd rather have Baltimore. Upton, but... To give the fact that you have to give up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Up,
if you're where Baltimore is right now and you're essentially trying to maintain what you had last year, I'd rather not give up anything. I'd rather spend money to get Melky as opposed to having to give up somebody to get to get Upton.
I wonder, too, about the Mariners when it comes to Melky, having already signed Nelson Cruz, so he's your DH. You give up the pick. Now, at this point, it's not so scary to give up another one for Melky, and they could use that outfielder.
What about the Padres? I mean, you know, they struck out on Yasmani Tomas. We've heard them connected to some other people. I don't know. I don't think Melky playing left field at that park would be pretty. Oof. But if they want... if
no
they
less
want
pretty
some
than Safeco.
Right.
Yeah,
fair.
True. That's
but
true.
If you need some, if you're looking to get some offense, and the Padres could use some offense. I mean,
what's going on with the Padres now? How's it? They're talking about all this stuff. I mean, you're not wrong. I could see them going after Melky too, and Matt Kemp, and Chase Edley bringing him back. And what's happening?
Worst offense in baseball last year, right?
Well, yeah, but they didn't seem to care.
No, but you know what?
They do.
They are flush with TV money too.
Yep. Right.
As a result of that. They also, I think, they were flush with TV money last year, but they that regional sports network, there's a lot of money. Then maybe they're looking around and they're saying, you know, San Francisco has got some moves to make in order to get back to where they were last year. Arizona, I don't know what to make of Arizona necessarily.
They just got Robbie Ray.
They got Robbie Ray, so I still don't know what to make of Arizona. And the Dodgers have shown that they are perpetually capable of screwing up at some point. Maybe San Diego looks at this as a window of opportunity, or at least the start of it.
Do you think that because it's a new GM and because it's their meetings and the whole baseball world's going to be in their backyard, they're going to want to do some stuff?
I don't think guys do that anymore. They make a splash in their backyard. I don't think guys do that anymore.
It's a bad way to do business.
Yeah.
But it's a new front office who might not have learned that yet.
Well,
the one thing we had Doug Melvin on just at the end of the baseball season. The end of the regular season, one of the points he made, to your point, Mike, he was talking about how the influx of new GMs and young GMs, he said that churn's a wrong word, but that kind of creates a little bit of uncertainty in the market because now you've got new personalities and you don't know how a guy's going to react. And maybe that's a thing with San Diego. Maybe they're just in a mode right now where they're going to be very aggressive and really go after guys.
You know, Tomas at least made sense because it's a longer term piece. It's someone you're plugging in for the future. Melky Cabrera is really a now piece,
mm-hmm.
and San Diego is not a now team.
But they are if they get Kemp and Headley,
well,
which they're talking about,
right? But then you also hear, you know, Cashner might go too, right?
Yeah.
So they are a tough team to peg. And that's a great point about the new GMs and which way are they going to go. Colorado's the same way, right? Starting the offseason, hey, you know, Tulo, Carlos Gonzalez are going to be on the block. And maybe it's just it was sell low on both mm-hmm. guys and you just weren't going to get any sort of reasonable value back. But, you know, so you're keeping those guys. Well, then what are you doing? Are you building up? Are you just middling away another season? Like, you know, the gray zone is the worst place to be as a team. And, you know, these are the grays at Cincinnati.
You pointed out in the article, I was going to say Cincinnati's a perfect example. Cincinnati's
right.
kind of like the Jays used to be at times, where you're just kind of there. And
right.
you're a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah. And too good to be bad, but too bad to be good,
yeah.
right? And
it's interesting, too, to see a couple teams that were good last year in the Braves and A's taking steps back, like apparently willingly. I mean, the Braves parting with Jason Hayward, probably mm-hmm. arguably one of the top 10 players in the National mm-hmm. League, and then the A's trading one of the top 10 players in the American League and Josh Donaldson. So I guess teams are really taking a hard look at where they are and even being willing to take a step back.
And speaking of the A's, just for a second, just keeping an eye on Twitter, our very own Greg Brady, who you spoke to
right.
earlier this morning, says that now that the Tigers have Shane Green, maybe they can deal Porcello for Cespedes, which doesn't really speak of the A's, but of a former A. But that's something that they've been talking about doing as well.
Oh, that would make sense because Porcello's that group of pitchers, and there are a lot of them who are a year away from free agency.
And Boston's looking pitching, and they've got 1,000 outfielders.
Cespedes in Detroit would be. I like Cespedes as a player.
It's fun. You know? He's a lot of fun. There's a lot of things he doesn't do, but he's a lot of fun.
Tom Verducci wrote an item in SI. About 10 days ago, actually it was about a week ago, and he was talking about, and he's been on this since the World Series, how kind of he thinks baseball is at kind of a transformative phase now, with maybe teams starting to look at investing more heavily in relievers and the whole idea you only need your pitcher to give you six innings, et cetera, and that offense is at such a premium that teams are really focusing on offense as well. And I wonder if maybe that explains why teams like Colorado are just kind of hanging on to their good hitters, that offense is so – it's down so much in the game, and it's scary down right now so much in the game that maybe teams that have guys with some sort of track record are just saying, we're just going to hang on to them.
I mean, I think Billy Butler is almost the perfect example of that. I mean, did he hit, what, 9 home runs last year? Mm. And he signs the 3-year, $30 million contract.
And that place where he's not going to hit home runs.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
And they already had enough DH types. He's not going to play the field. This is a team that values defense, and yet he still gets $30 million. So I think you're completely right, Jeff, that power right now, I mean, you're going to get paid if you have power.
That's why
you don't.
That's why the
9 home runs, right?
You know, and I want to talk about the Jays here. That's why I love the Donaldson deal for that, because I think we are at the point where you really can't have too much power.
No, and Donaldson could, I mean, should easily hit 35 in Toronto, be at 29 in Oakland. You could, you know, you could say that you're going to get that from each of Bautista, Edwin, mm-hmm. Donaldson. Saunders could hit 20 plus. He's hit 19 in Seattle. Smoke has hit 20 in Seattle. So he could hit 25 or 30. There's a lot of power here. It's interesting, we talk about the lack of offense around, that Josh Donaldson can come in here and see a lineup that when he walks in the door had nobody mm-hmm. hitting 7th, 8th, and 9th. Nobody. And he says this is the most potent offense in the major leagues based on who they've got 1 through 6.
You know, actually, Ben threw this question out during the break, and I want to deal with it on the roundtable. It's Ben Nicholson-Smith, Shai Davidi, Mike Wilner, and Jeff Blair, the Winter Meetings Roundtable. The Jays, we know that they need relievers. We know that they're going to be focusing on relievers. But Ben asked the question, we also know that they're unsettled at second base and that they might want another outfielder. And given the choice, what would you rather have? And I made the case, I'd rather have another outfielder, because I'm not certain Dalton Pompey can be an everyday center fielder. And I'm willing to live with Ryan Goins and Mycerus Turris and some combination thereof at second. Shai, I'll start with you. You're Alex. You got a choice. You've got limited resources, or you've got a certain amount of money at least. You've got some trades you can make as well. What do you focus on, second base or the outfield? What do you need more?
Ideally, it's a second baseman, but if the outfielder was significantly better than the top option that I could get at second base, then I'd go that route. I think they're at the point where just get the best guy, because you're probably not getting the ideal fit in either spot. So get the person who's going to help you most. But second base has just been such an issue for so long. If you can settle that in a meaningful way, that's great. You know, you probably don't want to get someone who's going to block Devin Travis. I don't know you want to necessarily count on him being the guy, but the Tigers really seem to like him. A few Blue Jays people have talked to a few Tigers people about him after the trade. And the Tigers people said, we really think he's going to hit. Mm-hmm. And how close is he? I don't know. He's never been above double A and things like that. But that potentially could be a long-term answer. But, you know, if you have a chance to get someone, maybe like a Jed Lowry or something like that, be a great fit.
It would be great.
And it's protection at shortstop in case something mm-hmm. happens to Jose Reyes. And or Mike, for the inevitable
yeah,
Jose
right,
Reyes
right.
injury.
And, Mike, you pointed out as well that when we were talking off air, you pointed out as well that with Donaldson, with Russ Martin, the lineup should be, and Michael Saunders, you could be improved enough incrementally that you could carry one position. You could carry one spot in the lineup.
I'm happy to carry one dead spot,
but
not two. And that's why I'll be okay with Ryan Goins, but I agree with Shai. The answer to that question is it depends. Mm-hmm. Is the outfielder you're getting better than the second baseman you're getting? Significantly better. I don't know about you guys. I have some faith still in Kevin Pillar. I think he's going to hit in the major leagues. And I know he can play defense. So if Dalton Pompey doesn't work out, or if Saunders gets hurt or whatever, I'm okay with having Pillar out there. And I don't think that's going to be a dead spot. I really, really like the idea of bringing in Jed Lowry to play second base. Yeah. I think public address announcers would get his name right, where they've been calling Brett Lowry for the last 3 years. That would be a nice little bonus. But he does offer protection at shortstop, and he may come on a one-year value rebuild deal to get back out on the market at 32.
And Ben, I'll let you answer that as well. But the other thing to mention, too, is the Jays were very clear at the end of the year, both John Gibbons and especially Alex Anthopoulos, that they know they're going to have to talk to Jose Reyes about DHing some this year and taking some days off. So you have to have somebody in this team that can play shortstop.
Right, but Goins can do that too, and to a lesser extent, Meisser.
Right.
Although, Lowry for me is the best.
That's what I'm saying. And Lowry also gives you that possibility of having somebody.
But maybe he thinks he's on the market as a shortstop now.
Yeah. I think he has a good shot at probably a multi-year deal, just given how few solid infielders there are. I like Lowry. I think he'd be a good fit for sure. Like you say, he can play some shortstop for you. And I think, too, just if you're trying to upgrade at the trade deadline, there are going to be corner outfielders out there. It's just going to happen. There will be guys who can fill a spot for you in that role. But I don't know if we're sure that there are going to be second basemen out there. I think that's a tough position to address midseason.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you joining me.
We are thrilled to be here.
No, you're not.
All right, but
it's
we're
too
here.
Early for you. I know it's too early for you.
I was up at 4:30 in the morning.
You're up at 4? What the hell are you doing up at 4:30 in the morning?
I was driving my kids and the ex to the airport. They're going to spend a lovely weekend in Orlando, Florida. Isn't that nice?
Nobody's ever spent a lovely weekend in Orlando, Florida. Are they going
Are
they going to Disney?
I'm sure.
A Disney property?
I'm sure they're going to
the creepiest place on earth.
Man. Anyhow. Mike Wilner, Shai Davidi, Ben Nicholson-Smith, safe travels to San Diego. Thanks so much for doing this. Rest assured that you'll be getting the 6:45 a.m. phone call in San Diego from Travis. Actually, no, you'll be getting the 4,000-word email from Travis the night before apologizing for the fact he's going to call you at 6:45 in the morning. Thanks so much for doing this. Have a safe flight to San Diego. Try to get outside of the hotel at least once during the winter meeting because it is San Diego. And you're on the water.
Absolutely.
And I'll be very disappointed if there isn't a picture of you guys gathered around a yacht or something like that.
Hopefully. Well, we're going to be doing a video blog every day, the three of us with Barry Davis. Hopefully it's on a beach.
Oh, well, find a spot. Find a nice
spot. We'll
do
it right beside the Bob Hope statue or something. That'd be swell. Barry's a little taller than that, I think.
Jim Croce's restaurant, by the way, just down the street from the hotel. And the Top Gun bar. The bar scene in Top Gun... I think it's still there. It's just to the left of the hotel. You're too young to remember how big Top Gun was, right?
No.
Okay. All right. I just got your look on it. Ben Nicholson-Smith, Shai Davidi, and Mike Wilner, thanks for joining us. Safe travels to San Diego, gentlemen. Gentlemen, look forward to your work next week. Eric Smith, the Toronto Raptors radio play-by-play voice is next. We'll talk about Toronto's winningest sports team, the Toronto Raptors. When the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.